Welcome to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Our faith family meets at 110 Longview Avenue in Springfield, Ohio on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. At Maplewood, we're learning to love God and learning to love others. For more information, visit our website at maplewoodnazarene.org or find us on Facebook. Now, it's time for this week's message.
Well, Maplewood, I have a little game of who's who for you to start us out with this morning. I want you to put your attention onto the screen, and I want to know, can you name these famous faces? Go. Tom Hanks. Very good. This one. Taylor Swift. Yep, all the young people in the room are like, Taylor Swift. Okay, next one. That's a nod to our veterans here. Yes, those who have been around the block a few times. Frank Sinatra. My daddy loved Frank Sinatra. Next. Elmo. Yes, very famous face, Elmo. All right, next. Julie Andrews. I love Julie Andrews. She's just like one of my folk heroes. Yeah, same thing, same person, totally. Yes, next. Yes, I heard Tom Hanks, but Tom Cruise. We already had Tom Hanks. Yes, Tom Cruise. And, oh, let's see if you can get this one. I had to put this one in.
Jessica.
That's her name on Murder, She Wrote. There you go. Bing, ding, 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 ding. Melanie wins. I knew this one would be hard. She's Jessica on Murder, She Wrote. Angela Lansbury. Yes. How many of you got 5 out of 7? There were 7 pictures up there. How many of you got 5? You could name them. How many of you got 6? How many of you got all 7? How many of you had no idea who any of these people were? Yes. They're all stars. They are all stars. Famous faces that a lot of people, if not almost in certain circles, everyone would know them by name, even though we don't really know them. I've never met any of those people, but I know their names. What is it about these people that make them have star quality? Star quality. Well, for starters, they all look really good, don't they? The ladies are glamorous. The men are handsome. And Elmo, well, he's cute and cuddly and fun. And they are talented. They're actors and actresses and musicians. They have huge hit movies and top-of-the-chart songs that they're known for by bajillions of people. They're successful, they're influential, and in their success, they're probably wealthy and popular. I bet they have 1 million subscribers on YouTube, which my kids tell me means you've made it if you've got 1 million subscribers. 1 billion likes on social media. If you would ever have the chance to unexpectedly run into one of these people in person, you would be excited to tell your friends about it. You'll never guess who I met in person, me. You know, Joe Case one time, he was at work and he met, wait for it, Richard Simmons in person. If you know who Richard Simmons is, he was kind of like an exercise guru. And he says he's exactly like he is on television. And he had to come home and tell me about it right away. If we met any of those people, I would. I'd probably put it in a sermon. Like my next sermon, I go, you'll never believe who I met. They're all stars. They have star quality. We know a star when we see one. Back in the olden days of my youth, the 70s and 80s, it was cool on TV to watch shows like Love Boat or Fantasy Island or The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson to see who the guest stars would be. I was a big fan of The Love Boat. Now, I watch The Love Boat now and go, like, why did my mother let me watch that? There's a lot, don't watch it. But it was cool to see who would be the guest stars on those shows. These days, it's cool to see who's guest starring on what shows? Dancing with the Stars, Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon, you know, move Johnny Carson along. It's Jimmy Fallon now, or The Masked Singer, or some other guest starring type of show. Yeah, they'd have guest stars on the Waltons too. You've got to have star quality to be selected to be on Dancing with the Stars. The likelihood of anyone in this room being selected to star on Dancing with the Stars is low. I'm sorry, even for you, Ed. I just don't think that they're ever going to call any of us. We're just ordinary people, right? And I like ordinary people. I am an ordinary people. That's me. Would it surprise you if I told you that in the Word, in God's Word, God has already invited us, all of us, to be a star? Not a Hollywood star, not a pop music star, not a Dancing with the Stars star, but people who live according to God's idea of star quality. From the most ordinary of us to the least ordinary of us. And honestly, I think most of you are uncommon. You are not ordinary. But God is calling all of us. God is calling you, Maplewood, to star quality. And today we're going to open our Bibles, and you do need a Bible. So if you don't have yours handy or you don't have yours on your device, I want you to pull one out from under the seat, because you need your Bible for this message. It's going to help you remember it. So put one in your hand. Even if you are not such a good reader or not a lover of reading, I want you to have the Bible in your hand. And actually, you're going to turn to Genesis. We're going to open our Bibles to Genesis 12. And Genesis is the very first book of the Bible, so easy to find. Genesis chapter 12. Today we are going to look at three star qualities that Scripture points us to. So Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. The very first star quality, and Drew's going to put it up on the screen for us. Star quality number one is join the family. Join the family. We're going to look at that at Genesis 12. Have you got it? Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. When you get it, put your finger on it. Genesis 12 is about Abraham, and this is the section of the book of Genesis that tells the whole saga of Abraham. It's pretty long, but it's really great to read. So at a different time, feel free to read all of Abraham's story. We're just going to do a little bit of the cliff notes, but let me tell you ahead of time, Abraham was an ordinary guy. He was not Tom Hanks. He was Abraham. He was an ordinary guy, but he had an extraordinary call from God. And in chapter 12, God is talking to ordinary Abraham about this extraordinary call. So let's look at that. Genesis 12, 1 through 3. The Lord had said to Abram, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you, the word of the Lord. Abraham was an ordinary man, Maplewood. He did his best to follow God and obey God, and God promised Abraham to make him into a great nation. What did he say? He's going to make Abraham into a
great nation.
That sounds like a starring role to me. Abraham's an ordinary man, and God says, I'm going to make you into a great nation. But after a while, Abe really starts to worry how God's going to possibly make him into a great nation, when after years and years, he and his wife Sarah, they don't even have one child. They have not been able to conceive one baby. How can you become a great nation if you don't even have one offspring? And now they were old, long past the age of having children. And Abe was getting really concerned. Can you blame him? In chapter 15, turn two more pages. Chapter 15, maybe just one page. Mine's only one page. Genesis 15. Abraham is sharing his concerns, shall we say his worries, with God about, Lord, you said, great nation, Lord. You said, great nation. But if you haven't noticed, I don't have any children, and now I'm old. Chapter 15, 1 through 6, let's read it. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, Oh, sovereign Lord, what can you give me, since I remain childless, and the one who will inherit my estate is Eleazar of Damascus? And Abram said, You've given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. A little aside there, that does not sound like a great nation, a servant being your heir. Verse 4, Then the word of the Lord came to him, This man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. He took him outside and said, Look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. And don't miss this. Abraham believed the Lord. Say it with me, Maplewood. Abraham believed the Lord, and the Lord credited it to him as righteousness. The word of the Lord. Now, many of you likely know the end of this story. As it turns out, Abraham and Sarah, despite the fact that they are older than dirt, miraculously conceive and give birth to a son, Isaac. God kept his promise of a son, but a great nation just from Isaac? I mean, then I would expect there to be more children if we're going to have a great nation. This still seemed like a pretty big stretch of a promise. Remember, God had said to Abraham, Your family is going to be as numerous as the stars in the sky. What Abraham didn't know then was that his obedience, and when Abraham believed the Lord, and it was credited to him as righteousness, his obedience was only the beginning of a family tree of men and women who also, like Abraham, said yes to God, including a woman named Mary, who many generations later was visited by an angel who said she would carry a son, the Messiah, the Son of God, Jesus. You don't have to turn there, but Galatians 4:29 says, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed. If you belong to Christ, you are Abraham's seed, according to the promise that we just read, folks. Are you catching it? You and I, we are the stars of that prophecy. Do you ever think of it that way? That's you! The stars of the prophecy that was spoken to Abraham. When we, by faith, join God's family, we are Abraham's offspring. We are the stars in the sky. Too many to count. If you this morning are putting your trust in God the way that Abraham put his trust in God, then congratulations, you're a star. You're part of the fulfillment of God's promise to Abraham. You are one of the countless stars that represents the heirs of Abraham. You have star quality if you, like Abraham, have joined the family. You've made the decision to be a part of the family of God. And like Abraham, your inheritance is an eternal one from God himself. So the first way to have star quality is what, Maplewood? Join the family and shine God's way. Join the family just like Abraham did. Listen to God like Abraham did. Do what God says like Abraham did. Believe what God says, like Abraham did, and by faith, embrace Christ as your Lord and Savior. Then you, Maplewood, are Abraham's seed and the inheritors of God's great plan of salvation. Let's look at a second way to have star quality God's way. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew. Matthew is the first book of the New Testament. The first book of the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We want Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. And the second star quality is this one right up here on the screen. Be a beacon. What is it? Be a beacon. When I was a kid, Mom and I loved to shop at our neighborhood Kmart. It was the place to be. Did they have a neighborhood Kmart in Springfield? No? Well, in Marysville, it was the bomb. It was the place to be. And they had this great marketing tool at Kmart, maybe you've heard of it, called the Blue Light Special. It's a real thing. It's legit. Some of you maybe have been to a Kmart and remember this. Well, I was, obviously, since I'm still talking about it, totally moved by the idea of a Blue Light Special. When there was a really great sale opportunity in the store, you know, like a fruitcake, buy one, get one. Or I always remember at Christmas time, they would always do the Christmas candy, like the chocolate-covered cherries or something, which went a lot faster than the fruitcakes, I'm sure. They would wheel this special cart with a flashing blue light, not unlike the one in that picture right there, on the top of it, and that is where you could go. You go to the blue light, and you can get that item. It was a signal to all those in the store. Hey, pay attention. This is something you don't want to miss. Follow the blue beacon for a really sweet deal. Right, Roxanna? Who's all about really sweet deals? I need to grab my water here real quick. So the Blue Light Special was legendary at Kmart. And as a kid, oh my goodness, I thought that was the sweetest thing you could ever do was to get the Blue Light Specials at Kmart. It was heady stuff to me as a school-age kid. And apparently it wasn't just me, because practically everyone in the store, as soon as that blue light was announced, and I don't know why, but you could just see the thing like resonating like the Batman signal in the sky. You could see it, and everybody would point their cart towards the mesmerizing, flashing blue light and its amazing bounty of bargain goodness. And you're not nearly as excited about it as I was. The dictionary definition of a beacon is a light or other visible object that serves as a signal, a warning, or a guide. In my 10-year-old brain, the Kmart blue light was a guide to the ultimate of good things. God's kind of star quality is definitely a beacon, and it's way better than the Kmart blue light special. When we are God's kind of star, we get to be a guide to the good things of God. In the very familiar story of the Nativity, which we're going to look at, don't worry, I haven't forgotten about Matthew 2. I just wanted you to have time to find it. It's the story of Jesus' birth. The star plays a literal starring role in this story. The star is what alerts the Magi, the kings, that the Messiah has arrived. In Matthew 2:9, find it for me, Matthew 2:9. In Matthew 2:9, I'll read it. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, speaking about the Magi. And the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. Verse 10, and when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. The star goes ahead of them. The star stops over the place where Jesus was. When they saw the star, they were what? They were overjoyed. The star was a beacon. It's not a person, but it was a beacon that guided them to the ultimate good thing, our Savior, Jesus. So if we want to have God's kind of star quality, we need to practice taking on the role of a beacon. It's like being an arrow that points all those around us to the good things of God. It doesn't mean that we ignore that there are challenges and struggles and difficulties in this life. But even in the midst of that, our star should shine. Even in the midst of that, we should be an arrow that points to the good things of God, pointing others to love and joy and peace, that comes from Jesus. It's seriously way better than a blue light special. Be a beacon, Maplewood. Be a star that guides others to the good things of God. And star quality number three, put it up there for me, Drew. It's coming. There it is. Number three, what is it, Maplewood? Be spirit power. Philippians 2. I know I'm sending you all over your Bibles today. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Philippians. If you are discouraged, Philippians is a great place to land. Philippians chapter 2. Go ahead and find it. We'll look at it here in a moment. Be spirit powered. Since Joe has been sick, we have both been sleeping downstairs. Our bedroom is upstairs, so sleeping downstairs is not normal for us. The kids were wonderful while he was hospitalized. They came in and set up a twin bed in the living room area, and I sleep on the couch next to him because he's not ready to be on his own, and honestly, I'm not ready to leave him on his own yet, especially at night. Nights have been hard. Since I don't have access to the reading light that is mounted in my bedroom, I typically read before bed, and I've been using a flashlight because it's just what I had. And some nights I have not gone to sleep anywhere at the time that he has. So I dug this little flashlight out of my junk drawer, and I've been using it to read in the evening until I get sleepy enough to go to sleep. Well, it's been several weeks of this, and I noticed the other night my flashlight is getting dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. I can still make out the words. In fact, I'm like, no, it's still okay. I can still see by it. But honestly, my eyes are starting to go, no, you can't. My flashlight's getting dimmer and dimmer. My power source, which in this case happens to be AA batteries, is failing me, slowly but surely. Those batteries worked great at first, but now they're lagging. And eventually, yes, they are going to give out altogether. This third quality, be spirit-powered, is all about our power source. When we're doing our best to shine for Jesus in a dark world, it's very easy, Maplewood, to lean on our own self-motivation. Now, don't mishear me. I am all for self-motivation. The Bible tells us that we should work on the fruits of the Spirit of self-control, and that's something the Spirit works in us, but it's something that we choose to say yes to. Self-discipline, self-control, these are good. But I want to caution you, self-motivation is not enough to power the kind of star quality that God has in mind for you and me. Self-motivation can only take us so far. It's like my AA batteries in my flashlight. Sometimes self-motivation lags, dims, even fails us. We need a better power source. Are you hearing me? We need a better power source, one that doesn't come from self. And that's what Philippians 2 talks about. Have you got it? Philippians 2? We're going to start at verse 12. The heading here is shining as stars. Verse 12, therefore, my dear friends, as you have obeyed not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault, in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life. Oh, it's good stuff, isn't it? Look at verse 13 again. It says, it is God who works in you. It is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. That is the key. We need God to work in us, to empower us, so that we can shine in a dark world. Our own self-motivation AA batteries, yes, they'll work too, but eventually we need something better. We need a better power source. And God is that power source. If you want to stop complaining and experience an attitude makeover, be very careful of what you ask for. But you need God to do that. The AA batteries of self-motivation only get us so far. We need God in us to do that. If you want to stop being known for arguments and instead be known for peacemaking, oh, you need God to do that. If you want to lose guilt and shame and instead feel blameless and pure before the Father, you need God to do that. We can't do that in ourselves, can we? If you want to shine like stars in the universe, holding out the good things of God to the world around you, your power source needs to be God. The Holy Spirit is God's presence here on earth. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 2, the gift of the Holy Spirit was given. Jesus ascended and the Holy Spirit came down. And the Holy Spirit came down to live in us. That's why the Holy Spirit is here on the earth. The Holy Spirit wants to live in you, walk with you, teach you, correct you, empower you, embolden you, purify you from the inside out. Purify our hearts and our motives. Give us everything we need to shine forth like God's stars in a dark world. For all you churchy people, it's called sanctification. But what it really is you say, Lord, fill me up with your Spirit. If you want to be full of the Spirit, that means you got to empty out some of the junk because you got to make some room. And that is exactly what the Spirit does. You invite the Spirit in and the Spirit starts bailing all the things you don't need, all the junk you don't need. It's kind of a lifetime thing, but it's a one-time decision for you. And then you'd make the same choice every single day for the rest of your life is God's intent. Fill me up with your Spirit, Lord. Kick out the junk. Today, next day. Kick out the junk today, Lord. I know there's going to be a little more junk every day. It's God's plan for us. And that is what empowers us to shine. That's God's plan for star quality, that we be Holy Spirit powered. Without the Holy Spirit empowering us, we will eventually fade and fail, just like my flashlight. So let's review. Three ways to shine like a star. Drew's not going to put them up there. I want to see if you can remember them. The first one was join the family. Join the family. First, we got to, you know, follow God, right? We got to listen to him. And it's really two parts. You can say, oh, yeah, I want to be part of God's family. But if then we don't listen to him and obey, well, you're not in the family. You got to do an Abraham. You got to listen and obey even when you're going, I don't know where you're sending me, Lord, but I believe you. I believe you. I put my trust in Jesus as my Savior. And number two, be a beacon. Blue light special, baby. A guide, an arrow that points people to the good things of God, just like the Nativity Star. And the last one, and honestly, this is the one I believe most of us need to hear probably in this room, although they're all important. Be Spirit powered. Self-motivation will only get us so far. We've got to ask the Spirit to perpetually work in and empower us, to work in and through us to shine into a dark world. Joe and I have been watching way more television than we've ever watched in our lives. That's what you do when you've had surgery. I'm sure some of you have been there and done that, or you're ill. And we came across a show. It's on Disney, if you have Disney Plus, and it's a series of episodes called A Small Light. Anybody seen it? Totally worth watching. It's the story of Miep Gies. Miep is from Amsterdam in the time of World War II. She is one of the individuals who helped to hide Anne Frank and her family during the Holocaust, during World War II. Miep Gies was secretary to Anne Frank's father, Otto Frank. She was no one special. Honestly, he didn't even want to hire her as a secretary, but he just kind of did in the end. She was ordinary. She wasn't even that good of a secretary to start with. He really had to work with her and help her. But day by day, Miep did extraordinary things because she was moved by something bigger than herself. You could say she was powered by something bigger than herself. In her later years, long after World War II was over, she would speak to various groups about her life story, and it was during one of these talks that she said this quote, "Even an ordinary secretary or a housewife or a teenager can, within their own small ways, turn on a small light in a dark room." Even an ordinary secretary or a housewife or a teenager, or insert your label for yourself, can within your own small way turn on a small light in a dark room. You know, Miep could have easily said, "I am a very small, unimportant person. I'm not even that great of a secretary. There's absolutely nothing I can do to change the darkness of Hitler. There's absolutely nothing I can do to change that they are rounding up all the Jews in my neighborhood and taking them away to who knows what, but we know it's bad. There's nothing I can do." Miep could have said that. She said, "There's nothing I could do to change this darkness." But she didn't. Instead, she said, "I'm one person, and I can shine one person's share of light into the darkness." And she did. And it mattered. It mattered. You might be sitting here this morning saying, "I'm nothing special. I'm not Tom Hanks. I'm not a Julie Andrews. I can't sing like Taylor Swift. I don't know if I'm courageous enough even to be Miep Gies. I'm not even Elmo. I'm not sure if I have enough star quality to even measure up to Elmo. I don't have star quality. I'm just an average human." Some of you might say, "I'm not even average, I'm below average. I'm just trying to make it in this crazy world." I would say to each and every one of you that that is not what this book says about you. This book says, and I believe it, God made each of you to be so much more than what you think.
Amen.
God made each of you to be much more than that. You were made to shine, Maplewood. For the glory of the Lord, you were made to shine. Do not settle for anything less than God's plan for you to shine like stars in the universe, holding out the word of life.
Thank you for listening to the Maplewood Nazarene podcast. Maplewood Nazarene is affiliated with the Global Church of the Nazarene, a Wesleyan Holiness denomination with congregations all across the world. If you are in Springfield, look us up at 110 Lawnview Avenue, or you can find us on Facebook or at www.maplewoodnazarene.org.